Today, I'm joined by Dean Jackson, co-host of the I Love Marketing podcast and creator of the 8 Profit Activators. Dean's strategies have helped businesses grow for years. And today, we'll break down how a small tweak in your guest experience can boost revenue and why a compelling offer is always better than a convincing argument and just might be the key to driving growth at your restaurant. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Guest Getter, the best place for restaurateurs to learn the art and science of getting more new guests, getting guests coming back more often, and getting guests spending more per visit so that you can be more profitable and do more of what you love. My name's Kyle Guilfoyle. Let's hit it.
Dean, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's heating up. Still summer. Even though it's Labor Day.
Hey, when's your next workshop? You give workshops all the time, don't you?
I do. Yeah. Next one, 2 more this year, October and December.
Dean, your 8 Profit Activators framework has surely transformed how many businesses approach marketing. I'm curious, for restaurant owners specifically, which of these profit activators do you believe they most often overlook?
So I think that for looking at the profit activators or looking at it from a restaurant lens, the first thing I would look at is separating the business into 3 individual units, what we call the before unit, the during unit, and the after unit. So just roughly for restaurants, from the moment somebody makes a reservation till the moment they pay their check and go through the dining experience, that's the during unit. The after unit is all about nurturing lifetime relationships with people so they keep coming back and that they refer their friends or introduce new people. The before unit is, we always think about it as separate from the during unit in that it acts like a supplier to the during unit. And what it's supplying is new people coming into the restaurant. That's the way that we look at it for there. Now, any restaurant, a great place to start is that you've got a daily cadence to the restaurant business. If you're a successful, thriving, or surviving restaurant that has people coming in every day, you've got that cadence of opportunity to focus on the during unit and improve the revenue per diner that you're getting today. Or tomorrow, right away, you've got all of those opportunities. So I would start in the before unit and then really focus on building an after unit where a lot of times restaurants, because I follow, I eat out a lot, and I see that most restaurants don't have any sense of who I am or that I'm not part of their valued client roster. They don't usually collect contact information in any way or communicate with me. They just, people come in, they serve them the food, hope they like it, and hope they continue to come back, right? To have contact information for your clients, that's a valuable asset. So if they don't have, that's something that you can do in the during unit to make an impact right away. And then I would move into the before unit of trying to get new people coming in. Because I look at the during unit as your bucket and your after unit kind of thing. If you're putting new people into a leaky bucket, it's you're not making any progress, right? You're just getting new people.
So essentially making sure that for everyone who comes in through your doors, you have some kind of a way to capture their information. Do I have that right?
That would be a valuable piece of it for sure. And so if you look at the during unit, we think of it as a guest experience map, a timeline that starts the moment that they make a reservation and it ends after they pay the check and leave the restaurant, right? And there are many, if you were to draw it out like a timeline, that there's benchmarks along the way. So once they make the reservation, roughly it would be confirming the reservation, it'd be arriving at the restaurant, be getting in, getting seated, the server taking your order, the food coming out, you get the food, they take away the plates. Would you like dessert or coffee or whatever? Here's the bill. Thank you. Goodbye. That would be the benchmarks. And so if you start out mapping out where there's friction and opportunity in those, you look for where could there be friction? Like, for instance, even in the arrival to the restaurant, that if there's any confusion of where do I need to park, what entrance do I need to use, how early do I need to be, all of that kind of stuff, if you could pre-familiarize people with what, so they're not, there's no anxiety about it, right?
Yeah, it's a great point because we really want to clarify what the experience will be like for the guests because people are buying certainty. And the less certain they are that their experience will be a good one, the more likely they'll go somewhere else.
Some of these can just be simple, like setting them into a process of this is why using this timeline analogy of looking, okay, a pre-arrival, what would be great to come in would be to send an email to people, even saying, hey, Kyle, we're looking forward to having you in on Friday night. Is there any special dietary restrictions or anything that any allergies or anything that we need to be aware of? Or is it a special occasion that we want to be prepared for? That makes people feel like, especially if there's some anxiety that they've got a gluten problem or they've got a nut allergy or some exotic allergy, to know with certainty that somebody at least listened or somebody heard, right? Now, you have to be able to, if you're going to take that kind of input, that you have to have a throughput system that's actually going to be when they get it, that when my server comes, she already knows that the person sitting in seat four has a nut allergy. So to be able to confidently bring that up would be a really great thing. Now, that's not necessary, but it certainly would be a great experience for people. And then you and I
Go ahead.
talked about this idea of looking at that now and saying, how could we affect the outcome of tonight or tomorrow's diners? So if we use an example that, let's say, a restaurant has 100 people come through, they've got a $30 average per person ticket. So at the end of the night, they've had 100 diners and they get $3,000. That's a typical million-dollar restaurant model. And if by looking at this in our during unit, our goal is to increase the revenue per diner, or the value of that, one of the easiest things to do, if you don't have an after unit, if you don't have established contact information yet, to set up a system where you could collect contact information. And so that may, if you brainstorm it, one of the easy things to do might be to start a birthday club. If you said in the moment in the timeline where there's a little bit of a lull between the time that their order gets put in and the food comes out, the server comes back to refresh the water, your food's in, it should be out shortly. In the meantime, if you'd like to join our birthday club, we can celebrate your birthday tonight with some cake, and you get a $20 gift card on your birthday. Here's the cards to join, or just scan that QR code right there and you can join. Now, at the end of the night, with those little 8 seconds of words of dialogue that all the servers say at that moment, at the end of the night, you've had 100 diners, you get the $3,000 plus. You get 30, 40, 50 people that now you've got the foundation of an after. You know who they are, you know what their phone number is, you know where they live, and you know when their birthday is. So that alone, if you get them to come back for their birthday, even, is a huge multiplier on the one dining experience that you might otherwise get, right?
Yeah,
I love that. And I really want to run an idea by you that I got from our call. You mentioned the Olive Garden promotion where they could get any entree to go for $5 or
Five
something like that.
dollars. I got an
And
extra entree for $5.
And so it gave me this idea of the easy yes menu, where at a strategic point in the experience, the server bartender could drop a menu of easy yes options. And it could, for example, be like a $5 menu where there are a number of things. It could be a cocktail for $5 where the margins are really high, or it could be an entree to go for $5, or it could be a gift card, a $20 gift card for $5 for their next visit. So that would maybe be an offer that they'd make at the point of sale. And but it probably wouldn't have anything around coffee or dessert because those are things that people are most likely to get anyways. The easy yes menu is all about getting folks to purchase something that they may not have otherwise and just bumping up that per head spend. What do you think of that idea?
I like that idea. You could do something like that where even with if you did a give a gift card, get a gift card thing where you buy a $20 gift card and you get another $20 gift card. Your net cost is $10 per gift card, which is still a profit on your food cost because the incremental cost of serving somebody in that $20 gift card is way down.
Yeah, I'd love to actually go over to the before unit and just it's a basic thing, but I think it's something that you speak on very well. You have many wonderful analogies, like more cheese, less whiskers, and offering people a cookie instead of having them go into your fridge when you have them over to your house. And so this is all around a compelling offer. And you frequently, or I frequently remind myself of your saying that a compelling offer is better than a convincing argument. And I'd love to just riff on what you think makes an offer truly compelling and how restaurants can tailor their offers both to attract new guests and bring back repeat guests.
Certainly, if you've got an afternoon, if you've got a list of people, there was a cafe that I would go to every morning, and they'd have lunch. They were open breakfast and lunch. And I went there so much, I actually bought the building behind them for my office building because it was just like a perfect start to my day. They're no longer, they had a flood, and they've now got a successful line of olive oils that they travel all around the world and sell. But one of the things that they did, I got them collecting names and emails so they would have the ability to communicate with people. And she would just pay attention. And on cold days, for instance, in the winter, if it was particularly a cold snap, she'd send out an email with a picture and say, "Hey, Kyle, I'm making some chili today. Would you like me to set aside some for lunch for you?"
So good.
Or do you want to pop by and bring some home for dinner? Things that were like she'd make this great soups, make a great chicken and yellow rice, like a paella type of thing. Things that were easy to package in, containers kind of thing that people could come and pick up and go, grab and go. And that was, I think that is an amazing opportunity, just paying attention. Like most people, I forget what the percentage is, but the age-old problem for people is, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Very few people have like a meal plan of what the thing is. And if they're having a day that is busy or they got off track, if you sent every Tuesday or some whatever the thing was, I've got this for you to swing by if you want to pick this up to go. And I think that's a big opportunity for restaurants is thinking about the opportunity for things to go out the back door instead of always new people coming in because the cost of serving those people is higher than sending stuff out the back door. Like that's why that incremental, that's why that yes menu or whatever you called that would be the kind of thing that's easy because it doesn't take much more work. They're taking that out there. You mentioned desserts. One of the best dessert things that I've seen happen is after people refuse dessert, this restaurant. They always say, "Would you like it?" Say, "Oh no, I'm fine." Nobody, everybody's looking for one per. If one person is on board, then every well, maybe we'll get this and this, right? But nobody wants to be the only one getting dessert. So once dessert is refused, they came out with a tray of dessert shots that were little cocktail glass things with a brownie and things that were like $2 or $3 that you could just like. And so people would, oh, maybe this one or this one, like little squares of cake with whipped cream or those kind of brownies or whatever it is. That was the kind of thing that it would be very difficult for. And once one person takes one, then everybody takes one kind of thing. That was a well executed thing that I've only ever seen that one time. And I think that's a good.
Yeah, it's like a slippery slope. Instead of committing to, oh, like a $14 piece of cheesecake, I'll just get a little, like a $4 or $5 mini dessert, push them over the edge.
Exactly.
I
And that's
love that.
Robert Cialdini who wrote Influence. That would be the rejection and retreat. They reject the big offer, but then when you follow up with the smaller offer, you get because they really wanted it, but it's too much. I don't want a big dessert, but that little thing looks great. I just want something a little sweet.
Yeah, and also I'd love to go back to the offer or the before unit. And was it did you coin results in advance? That is that you?
No, that's just a certain. I really have adopted it. That's just, I don't know that anybody can take credit that. Just the idea of getting results in advance is a good thing.
I think about it all the time, and I think that's part of what we're doing when we extend a compelling offer to the market is we're giving them a taste before they commit in any way financially. They're committing with their time.
I think that it comes down to my observation is for getting new people to come. You mentioned it is my saying of that a compelling offer is more powerful than a convincing argument. And what I mean by that is that if you're a new restaurant and new to a diner, it could be an old restaurant that somebody's never been to. You're a new restaurant to them, right? If you're going to take a chance on coming in to a restaurant that it might be an easier road to give somebody, and I'm a big believer in gift cards as opposed to buy one, get one, or anything that has like a hedged thing. If you can give somebody a $20 gift card, which might cost you as the restaurant $5 or $6 or $7 in actual incremental food costs to fulfill. And the interesting thing is that people, they will often restrict things for alcohol on those because that's their high margin things. But the actuality is it costs you the least also, right? If somebody uses it for alcohol, your actual cost is less than what the retail you're selling the drinks for. And different states have different legalities for alcohol things. But nevertheless, the idea that my observation was that sometimes it's less expensive to get somebody a result than it is to convince them to give you money to get that result. And the result is the experience of dining in your restaurant. You can't know that something is your favorite restaurant until you've experienced it. And so what all these people who own restaurants are trying to do is they're trying to convince people to come in and try our restaurant. But in order to do that, they've got to give you money, right? To say, come on in and spend your $100 for your family to come in and eat here, whatever that is, or come in on a date or by yourself or whatever it is. They've got to take the chance that anytime you try a new restaurant, you don't know whether you're going to like it or whether it's going to be good. But if somebody's inviting you to come in and try it on them, if you've got a $20 gift card for something, that jumps to the top of the thing. And people are not going to, the fear is that somebody's going to come in and order an appetizer and get a $19 total bill and give you the $20 gift card and leave. And even if they did, that's fine. It doesn't matter. It really cost you the $5 or $6 or $7. And what I mean by that is that you can't, where else are you going to spend $6 or $7 and get somebody to come in and try your restaurant? That's really what it comes down to, right? So penny wise, pound foolish in a lot of ways. They're thinking, well, I only want people to come in. That's why they think that a buy one, get one offer, you still have to spend money, whether it's in a newspaper or a Facebook ad or a coupon book or a postcard or Valpak or wherever you're doing advertising to get that out there. There's still a cost of acquiring that customer. And the reality is that you will get less people with a buy one, get one offer than with a $20 gift card.
Yeah, it's so good. You could either spend 10 times the amount in ads, or you can just make a truly phenomenal, compelling
Compelling offer.
offer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And then you
that's.
treat them. They have such an amazing experience when they're there and they join your birthday club and you've got their contact information. Well, you'd have their contact information. You get it in advance for them getting the gift card,
Because it's a
right?
barter.
So,
Yeah, it's a barter.
you're trading their contact info for that gift card.
And the other fear I hear often from restaurants is those who are, they think, oh, if I make this offer to people, it's gonna seem desperate. Or yeah, we're on our last leg, so this is a last ditch attempt to generate some business. And I'd be really curious how you might respond to that restaurant owner.
That's, as Zig Ziglar would say, that's stinking thinking.
Yes.
That's made up in your head.
And I have only ever heard that from restaurant owners. I've never once in all the ads that I've run have I seen a comment that says something like, oh, this is desperate. You guys must be like dying. And so it just tells me that this is, it's just ego. It's just the restaurant owner in their own head. And but everyone who receives that offer or who sees that offer just thinks, wow, they're just like you and me. That's a great thing. Thank you.
There's ways to do that too, that you could go to a real estate office or go to realtors
I love
and offer to sell them gift cards for $5. You could sell them $20 gift cards for $5 that they
So good.
could get, that for $100 they can get 20, or you could get, 20, $20 gift cards, a $4 value
And then,
for
yeah, and
that.
then they can give it to their customers.
Yeah, or you could give them, because there's a lot of breakage with gift cards too, right? You could give the realtors the gift cards, give them $120 gift cards to send to all of their clients and charge the real $10 or $5 whenever somebody comes in to redeem it. So they get the benefit, they get the glow of having given somebody, oh, that's thoughtful. Kyle's really a thoughtful person. He gave us this $20 gift card. They get all the squirts of serotonin and they feel
Warm and
like, oh,
fuzzies.
he really cares about, especially if you do it with a nice handwritten note, you get all of that. But then it goes in a drawer or in their wallet or in, and maybe it doesn't, they don't use it. So they haven't spent the money to do it, but if they do, then they only pay when the people come in. So there's that. There's many ways around how to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to move over to one of your profit activators that I struggle with to apply to the restaurant industry. And I'm getting there over time, but I have had this belief, which I think is flawed, and that is that, and bear in mind, I run ads primarily on the internet. And when it comes to targeting, I think let's keep this localized and let's keep it fairly open because 10 out of 10 people eat and drink, and 10 out of 10 people know other people who eat and drink. That said, the first profit activator is to serve one target market at a time. And I would love for you to help me apply that to eateries or restaurants. And I'll preface it. I'm starting to think more in terms of pockets of people, like pockets of people that restaurants can go and connect with. But anyways, yeah, I'd love for you to help us with that.
Okay. So it's not only doing one, the keywords there are at a time. So meaning you establish this one. Like I use Procter and Gamble as an example of this, that Procter and Gamble have 23 individual billion-dollar brands. So if you look at let's just say that you draw a 5 mile radius around your restaurant. That's the core bubble of where people are going to come to your restaurant, right? Maybe 10 miles But 5 miles is certainly the sweet spot of where people are going to come from. Now, if you just draw that circle around there, and then you start to think, okay, who would be the types of target audiences that are within there? We just spoke about one as the realtors. How could we have a situation that we could target all the real estate agents and give them the opportunity to do what we just talked about, to introduce their clients to us there? If you look at all of the retailers that are in the area, all the retail stores that maybe boutiques or whatever the things are that for a certain period of time, everybody that purchases, they get to give them as a gift a $20 gift card, right? I'm just thinking about how you can maximize your budget for a result, right? If it only costs you $5, $6, $7 whenever somebody comes into the restaurant, knowing that odds are they're going to spend more than $20 initially anyway, they're going to be introduced to your restaurant. You've got contact information. The odds of them coming back a second and third, and even on just on their birthday alone, coming back in, the ROI on your after unit is an amazing thing, right? Then you look at who else are there that are there. You think about where are the office buildings. You could think about the lunch crowd, getting the people who work at the medical center or work at the dentist office or work at wherever, that those are another target audience. Get people that are families would be another one. Birthdays are another target audience. You start to just look through and say, what are all these potential individual people that we could attract? And you start, it's not one at a time and then you move on to the next. I like to think of it as layering them. So you set up this realtor program and that becomes the thing. Now you've got that established and now you go to dental offices or you go to the next and you start layering. How many can we stack on top of each other of these individual viable market segments?
And it's so good because you also have the concept of visible and invisible prospects. And yeah, I think that most restaurants think their prospects are invisible. They're just like the B2C crowd or whatever. There's a really viable B2B player or a play where we can see all the dentists in our town and we can create something to reel them in. We can see all the realtors in our town and do something to reel them in. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Awesome. Yeah, I think local partnerships are generally one of the most slept on things for restaurants. Sure. Are there any simple yet effective ways restaurant owners can measure their marketing? How would you advise a restaurant owner to just simplify what they're measuring and how they measure?
I think that you look at the key metrics for each unit. So if you look at the during unit, the key metric is revenue per diner, right? That's, you get 100 diners and you got $30 and you generated $3,000 at the end of the night, right? So the revenue per diner is a great initial metric to keep an eye on because that's the kind of thing you can impact with simple things like the dessert option or pairing wines with entrees or looking and measuring your percentage of people joining the birthday club or giving contact information, whatever, or offering gift card sales at the opportune moment. Those kind of things all add up, right? All the things that you only have the opportunity to do while you're in that during unit, in that period of time. And so measuring that revenue per diner is a great way to visibly see what's happening. In the after unit, you want to look at one measure that we have is return on relationship. So if we say that you have 1,000 diners that are in your contact information and you look and see over the last 12 months, how much revenue came from those 1,000 people, both in the terms of them coming back themselves, how much did they spend and how many people did they refer or give gift cards too, right? Like if you have a loyalty program or you do something, you can measure the impact of your after unit as a simple metric. But knowing what you're measuring goes a long way. And then in the before unit is your cost per new diner. If you that's why the you look at the even giving away a $20 gift card, it may cost you some amount of money to get people to download your gift card. If you're doing it online, maybe it costs you $1 or $2 to get somebody to download a $20 gift card. And then it costs you $5 or $10 in hard costs, incremental costs, $5, $6, $7 probably for a $20 gift card. And you look at that and see how much how many new gift card diners you were able to bring in, measuring it that way and thinking of it as a capital investment, because it's not just this one dining experience. It's that they came in from the gift card. They went through the whole experience. They joined your birthday club. They probably spent more than $20. They probably still spent the $30 per person in their party of two or party of four or whatever. You're just adjusting that $20 less there. They still join the birthday club at the same rate, and they're added, your after unit is growing. So that if you look at it, that let's say average diner in your after unit comes in and they're $30 per visit, and they come in 10 times a year, that's $300 in revenue times the 1,000 people that you have. Knowing your revenue per diner annually, your return on relationship, that helps ease whatever you're spending on the beginning, because you know that each new person you bring into that goes through your during unit is going to yield not just the $30 that they spent tonight, but 300 or more dollars.
Yes. Yeah. One of the biggest, I think, oh yeah, oversights many restaurant owners make is they just look at everything transactionally, which is why I love your concept of return on relationship instead of just being one time transaction. The goal is never to get a guest one time, and it's to get a guest again and again. And when you have that idea, the revenue per diner on an annualized basis, you have a sense of how much you can invest as well. And the other big takeaway from our conversation was just how simple it can be to calculate that. You just take all the diners that you had last year and you take your revenue and you divide it.
Because that to give somebody a $20 gift card may cost you $1 or $2, but it may cost you $22 to get somebody to redeem a buy one, get one coupon.
And a lot of restaurants don't think, or they forget that the most expensive thing in their business is empty seats, right?
Yes,
So it's
that's the thing, is your excess capacity, because your 100 diners may be part of, you have 150 capacity. So,
absolutely. Okay, Dean, I'd like to take us to the finish line. If you're open
okay.
to it, are you open to a rapid fire round of questions?
Let's see, try and stump me.
Okay. What is your favorite drink?
My favorite drink, I'm on the Zevia, grape Zevia. That's my favorite drink right now.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun. What is one thing you wish you had learned years ago?
One thing I wish I had learned years ago. I wish I had learned how easy carnivore is years ago.
How easy carnivore is?
The carnivore is really like the carnivore diet is really fitting for me. I look at it's the nutritional equivalent of wearing a black t-shirt every day. It's one question. Is it meat? It's pretty simple.
That's so good. How did you fall in love with marketing?
I started out as a real estate agent in Toronto, and I was making cold calls. What you learn when you're starting out, you got to call people and get there. What made me fall in love with marketing was realizing that if I could put words on paper, words on a postcard, or words in an ad, and get people to call me, that was freeing for me, right? I was making 100 cold calls a day. And when I still remember the first success that I had with postcards, that I sent postcards into an apartment complex offering a book on how to buy your first house. And I got all of these people replying for this. And I just remember that's the last day that I ever made a cold call. I knew then that I would never make another cold call because I figured out how to get people to call me. And I loved that. It was the ultimate leverage for me.
It's like alchemy. What book, tool, or resources had the biggest impact on you?
Now, that's a great question. The one that was the beginning of it was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And so I really got that on a deep level, understanding to work on your business and to create it like you're going to duplicate it 5,000 times. That was the business separate from me. Cold calling business is me doing the stuff. A business that is run on direct response or on marketing is more of a business that can be duplicated. And that was the beginning of how I started syndicating everything that I do.
Amazing. I have just three quickies here. All-time favorite restaurant experience?
Let's see. That's a great. I think it was in Scotland at the Old Course Hotel. We met the spirit master there, and he got to go up on the roof of the Old Course Hotel and have some of these single malt scotches that they had. It was amazing. Cigars. It was a great experience.
Awesome. Who inspires you the most?
Max Martin.
I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, you will. There's of all the guys of just the list of people who've written the most number one songs in history, that list goes Paul McCartney, Max Martin, John Lennon. And you couldn't pick Max Martin out of a lineup, but he's written basically every song on the radio for the last 25 years.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. I definitely stole this from Tim Ferriss. If you had one message on a billboard, what would it be?
That's a good, I think that one, I think maybe it is that a compelling offer is more powerful than a convincing argument.
That's a great note to end on. Dean, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Is there anywhere you'd like to send people to connect with you or to learn about you?
Sure. DeanJackson.com is the best place because a directory of all of the things that we do, all of our podcasts, and there's a book about the eight profit activators that people can download right there. So DeanJackson.com.
Thank you, Dean. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Guest Getter Podcast, where we help you turn visitors into regulars and regulars into raving fans. If today's episode sparked any questions or ideas about growing your restaurant, why not drop us a line? Text us at 778-400-4915 and let's start a conversation about growing your restaurant and taking it to the next level. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and keep playing offense. Until next time, cheers.